Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
CINN stations in Ault salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, I'm here this morning as a guest I've had on my other programs, because I think his message is profoundly important. His name is Robert Zubrin. He has works within the nuclear industry, has a number of patents on various products having to do with nuclear power, but he's written a book called The Prophets of Despair, and basically it's called Merchants of Despair, and he goes into this whole idea that, my goodness, the world is terrible, that too many people in the world, we're going to have to cut back on the number of people, we're going to have to cut back on the utilization of energy, and of course this is why they're tearing out the dams all across the country, so that there won't be hydroelectric electricity. This is why, of course, they're building up this whole incredible fear of nuclear energy and of nuclear accidents. And basically, have you ever wondered why we are storing massive amounts of nuclear spent fuel in pools or in receptacles at any of our nuclear power stations, and why they were doing this in Japan, why they would have certainly pools of containing the nuclear rods on the fourth floor of a building over there? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Why would you have, I mean, you're going to store something, store it down on the first floor, and if you're close to a city, why don't you recycle the fuel and get rid of it or bury it in the desert or something? Well, we couldn't bury it in the desert because we don't know what's going to happen 100 million years from now. We know it's going to happen 25,000 years from now, but oh, we don't know what's going to happen 100 million years from now. So we can't possibly store this nuclear material in the desert. We certainly couldn't recycle it like every other country can. And they're intentionally setting us up for nuclear accidents. So we can do away with nuclear power, and then we can't have electricity generated by fossil fuel, because it's creating, global warming, and they basically want to deindustrialize society. Robert, you pick up the story because you do such a wonderful job in your book.
Well, what we're dealing here is with an ideology, which is basically that human beings are vermin or pathogens that are consuming the earth, and that therefore their activities, numbers, and freedoms need to be severely constrained, and therefore somebody's got to be empowered to do the constraining. And such ideology will always have appeal among elites seeking to enhance their power, and thus intellectuals who espouse it will never lack for sponsors. And what I do in the book Merchants of Despair is I trace this thing from its original form put out by Thomas Malthus in 1800, which was that people are always going to outrun the food supply, and so they'll always be starving, and therefore oppression is irrelevant. And this was used to justify the starvations caused by oppressive British policies in India and Ireland. And then going on forward through time, through the Nazis, and then through the population control movement after World War II, and then onward to the anti-technology movement, opposing all sorts of technologies that can improve the human condition, nuclear power, pesticides, genetically improved foods, and then finally to the global warming people who want to ration people's right to use combustion. And, you know, the crisis that people have to be controlled to avoid is always different, but the solution's always the same. So, for example, in the 1970s, we had global cooling was going on, and so they said, look, there's global cooling. It's being caused by out-of-control industrial growth, which is being driven by economic growth and population growth. They're out of control. They got to be put under control, put us in control. And then in the 1980s, the climate trend turned around and started to warm, so they said, look, it's global warming. It's being driven by out-of-control industry, which is being driven by out-of-control economic growth and population growth. They're out of control. They got to be put under control, put us in control. You know, the crisis is always different. The solution is always the same, that is, give them more control.
You're absolutely right, and that's what it's really all about. Using the so-called threat of to the environment and Mother Earth to bring about total power in the hands of a small group of very wicked people, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they know how to manipulate the fears of the masses, that there's this terrible crisis, so we've got to give them more power. Well, you go right ahead.
Yeah, so... and it's really pernicious because, in addition to advocating tyranny, it also involves a complete inversion of morals, where human life becomes bad and death becomes good. Now, the person who actually enshrined this was Darwin, and because what he said was that death was the motive for source of progress in the natural world and in the human world. That is, that progress occurs by superior species eliminating inferior species. And now, while it's true that Darwin did not, he was not prescriptive. That is, he did not say, and therefore we must go out and kill the inferior. He just thought it would happen as a matter of course. But other people were quick to take him up and say, well, if progress occurs by superior races eliminating inferior races, well, let's get to work. And thus you have first the German militarism that led up to World War I, where they said war is necessary because it eliminates the weak, and then this raises to a more hysterical and fanatical pitch under the Nazis. But, you know, this theory that progress occurs through elimination with respect to human social evolution is clearly wrong. That is, human social evolution does not occur through natural selection. And the reason why is this, is that, first of all, unlike animals, humans can inherit acquired traits, such as technological innovations. And furthermore, you can inherit them from people you're not related to. And furthermore, these improved acquired traits are not generated through random mutation, but through human creative effort during life. So, therefore, the more people that are alive everywhere in the world, the better off you are, because the more inventors there are.
Hold that thought, and we'll be back in just a moment here with our different, and his book, Merchant of Despair.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herbs.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Katz every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way the only way they know how.
One of the points that Rob makes in his book, which I thought was so valid, talk about this whole idea of microchipping for so many people, you know, and they're going to use up all the resources. He takes the example of chicken hawks. He says, you know, the more chicken hawks there are in the world, the less chickens are going to be, because the chicken hawks are going to eat the chickens. But the more people in the world, the more chickens. Now, both chicken hawks and people eat chickens, but human beings produce chickens because they want to eat them. Chicken hawks eat the chickens but don't replace them. And that's the difference, and that's why mankind is so productive, because they have a different outlook than chicken hawks, and they realize you've got to produce chickens. And we, so they look today, you know, at how they're able to mass-produce chickens, a matter of human ingenuity. And human beings can produce the goods, contrary to what the Malthusians and the population controllers and the elite want us to believe, that man is a scourge on the earth. Man benefits the earth, and certainly there is, but there is an organized effort at population control. Basically, if you look at what's really happened to the population figures and how many times you hear about the population explosion, and yet, as Robert brings out in his book, the European population is plummeting. If it weren't for immigration from the Muslims, it would simply be disappearing. In fact, the white European in two generations are literally going to be gone. And the same is true of the Japanese, and this is happening in Russia, and it is happening to a degree right here in the United States. Robert, you go right ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, in 1968, Paul Ehrlich wrote this book called The Population Bomb, in which he said, he's basically a follower of Malthus. He said, you know, human well-being is inversely proportional to human numbers. And there's 3.5 billion people in the world today, and in the year 2000, there'll be twice that many, and there's people starving now. They'll be starving in the streets then unless something's done. We've got to have population control. He demanded the U.S. government force population control on third world countries by denying them foreign aid unless they would submit to it. And, you know, on his urging, the Johnson administration denied famine aid to India unless they agreed to forced sterilization programs, which they did. Indira Gandhi capitulated to this. And he even said we should set up a Bureau of Population for the United States, where it would issue permits to people to have children. You need to get a permit from the government to have a child. And this bill to do this was actually introduced into the U.S. Congress by Congressman Ottinger in New York. Fortunately, it didn't go anywhere here. It did become a policy in China. and resulted in this horrific one-child policy that they have. And but the thing is, you know, the most amazing thing is, okay, the world population has doubled since 1968, but around the world, people are living better, not worse, considerably better, especially in countries like India and China, which Ehrlich said had to be sent down the drain. But, you know, this has been an invariant in human history. As the population has gone up, the well-being of people has gone up, not down. And Ehrlich should have known this, because he was born in 1931, when the population of the world was half what it was in 1968. And if his theory was true, we should have had an affluent world in 1931. Everyone should have been twice as rich in 1931 as they were in the 1960s, which is exactly the opposite of the truth. So these theories, these anti-human theories, are complete quackery. They are quack pseudoscience, and yet they use these things to justify the most horrific atrocities against humankind.
Absolutely, and basically what they really want to do is deindustrialize Western civilization. And they have an active program of raising living standards in third world countries and lowering living standards here. But what is most frightening is what's happening to the population, the white population of Europe. Would you like to get into that?
Well, in Europe, people have accepted these ideologies, and so Europe is committing suicide. People are not having children. This is the fastest population implosion that there's been in Europe since the collapse of the Roman Empire, quite literally. And, you know, metaphorically speaking, people have stopped planting trees in Europe. If you don't have children, there's no future. And, you know, And a large part of it is this acceptance of this anti-human ideology, where people say, well, it's irresponsible to have children because the world's resources are limited. And they can see the results of this nonsense in their financial collapse they're having right now. They're getting an inverted age structure where there are more retirees than workers, and so all these countries are going to go bankrupt because, you know, in the old days, people had children. Well, they had children because they wanted children, but they also had an economic motive, which was that your children would support you when you're old. Well, it's still the case that the children support people when they're old, except now it's socialized through government programs, but it's still the case in every society that the working population supports the older people, except now what's happening in Europe is a large portion of the population is demanding that other people's children support them. Okay, and if everybody wants other people's children to support them, this thing is going to break down, and it is.
And unfortunately, why, you know, when we started with our Social Security program, we had perhaps one person retired and 30 people working, and now we have one person retired and three people working, soon to be two people working, soon to be one person working for every retired person. And certainly with the working persons, you're going to have to give up most of what they earn to take care of somebody else, not even their own flesh and blood. Pretty soon they're just going to quit working and go on welfare, and the whole structure of society breaks down. It's happening in Japan today. It's happening in Europe today. That's why Greece and all the other countries are in so much trouble, and it's going to happen right here in America very soon because of these policies of the merchants of despair.
Yeah, that it's this cultural pessimism, and it also leads to, you know, nihilism. If the world's coming to an end, then what does moral action matter? There is no purpose to life. There is no purpose to human life. You know, it leads to morally degenerate societies, Epicurean ethics, and also Nietzschean ethics. Might makes right, do whatever you want, because there is no moral purpose to anything. And and this is what we're seeing over there. So these are very pernicious ideologies, and they have led, as I show in the book Merchants of Despair, almost, not every, but almost every major catastrophe of the past 200 years has been caused by these beliefs. You know, Hitler, you know, saying we need Lebensraum and launching a campaign to exterminate the Slavs and the Jews, to depopulate Eastern Europe because there isn't enough land to go around and Germany has to have it. Well, this ideology was total nonsense. Germany today has like half the territory that it had in the Kaiser's time, and much less territory than it had in Hitler's time, and yet people, and a higher population, and yet people are living much better, because wealth doesn't come from land, it comes from human creativity. You know, and then we have the population control programs of the present time, which, I mean, it's a disgrace, but these are largely being funded by the United States. People should know that this year, $600 million of their tax money is going to go to fund population control programs in third world countries where women are either conned or forced into getting sterilized. And these programs are horrific. And in every country, by the way, where they're applied, they always have a racist tinge to them, because in all these third world countries, there's some group that's got the power, and then there's some race that they despise. So, for instance, in India, the population control programs are controlled by the high-caste Brahmins, and they direct them against the untouchables. In Peru, you know, it's the Hispaniards, the actual descendants of the Spanish conquistadors, doing the population control on the Andean people, the natives, and so forth. In Africa, it's Tribe A doing it to Tribe B, who they've hated for centuries, you know. And these things are just awful, and we're funding it. And I have to say, it's simply a disgrace that the Congress, and in, currently we have a Republicans in the House, continue to appropriate money for these things. Why in the world would we want to fund these, even if they cost a penny, let alone $600 million?
Well, of course, in my estimation, the one-child policy in China was primarily promoted by International Planned Parenthood, and International Planned Parenthood that brought this terrible program to China and has killed somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 million children. Actually, was primarily financed by the United States. So we're critical of China, but we're the ones who are funding it. We're the ones who put up the idea, and 400 million children have been aborted. And now, of course, China is having real problems because, of course, a disproportionate number of men and women. And but they want to pick up that failed policy. Yes, it's stopped the expansion of China. In fact, now, of course, India is moving towards the most populous country in the world. It's not there yet, but they don't have at least the forced population control they have in China, thanks to the American tax dollars.
Right. Well, they have population control in India with a lot of American tax dollars involved, as well as other funds, World Bank funds, that would be denied to them if they didn't submit to this. But India, of course, is not a totalitarian government in the same sense that China is. It's more of a socialist government than we would want, but it's not like China by any stretch of the imagination, and so you can't enforce such a radical policy. And I have to say that while what you said was true, certainly Planned Parenthood was involved in helping set up the China's thing, and the World Bank rewarded China with loans the first time after they set up this policy, and that was Robert McNamara, who was a strong proponent of population control. The Chinese government itself has to bear responsibility. They're the ones that are doing it, and I wouldn't want to let them off the hook. They're not quite like Peru that can just be forced by USAID to doing anything. At a certain point, that communist government has got to take the blame for what it's doing.
Oh, no question they do, but certainly they were encouraged by our own government. That's the truth.
I agree.
So basically, of course, this is a real problem, because if you go into Europe today, it takes 2.1 children per family to reproduce the family, and yet you go into Germany and France, it's 1.4 children per family, In Italy, Spain, 1.2 children per family. Same thing in Eastern Europe, in Russia. Same thing in Japan. These societies are simply dying off, aren't they, Robert?
That's right. I mean, look, you walk around New York City, you'll see children. Walk around Paris, there's hardly any children.
And this is going to have tremendous impact as far as the future is concerned, because who's there going to be to work? Who's there going to be to look after the elderly?
That's right. And really, I mean, it's incredibly sad, because if you think of all the great achievements and contributions to human culture that Europe has done, and to see these societies literally killing themselves because of their adherence to these horrible ideas, it's extremely sad. It's awful. And, you know, and then there is what the, of course, what the anti-humans are doing to the more helpless of the world by denying technology. And I discuss this a lot in Merchants of Despair, to take one of the most egregious examples, the denial of pesticides to Africa, where millions of people every year die of malaria. The United States invented DDT during World War II. It was almost like a secret weapon, because insect-borne diseases are a tremendous cause of fatalities in war. In
Guadalcanal, hold that thought, Robert. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, my number is 877-254-7524. Here, the American Freedom Network.
Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods sells hard-to-find clean meats for your family's table. Cured beef bacon, veal, turkey, and summer sausage, all pork-free. Also all available in collagen casings. That's right, collagen casings and pasture-raised, healthy, no hormones, no antibiotics beef at Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods in Broomfield. Call 303-499-8166 or stop by 1000 Depot Hill Road at the intersection of Highway 287 and 10th Avenue in Broomfield. Ask about shipping.
Custom Cabinet Shop is a locally owned and operated family business since 1980. So if you want fair and reasonable prices, personalized service, and excellence in workmanship for your refacing, repair, installation, millwork, or remodeling projects for your home and business, Custom Cabinet Shop can do the job for you. Call now for your free quote and on-site consultation, 303-340-1390. That's 303-340-1390. So Custom Cabinet Shop can attend to your every woodworking need. Cabinets to fit your taste, furniture to fill your space, and shelves to store more. Gun racks for what you pack. High-end, low-end, repair, reface, remodel, or replace. Mantles, ceilings, or trim. Whatever you need. Don't overpay for in-house calls, design consultations, or repairs. Call for your free quote and a single on-site visit to get your project rolling now. That's Custom Cabinet Shop, 303-340-1390. Find us on Facebook.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, and certainly there's nothing more insidious than a lie. We hear all the time about the population explosion, the population of the world is rising, certainly the We're going to have 9 billion people in the world in another 20 years. But they don't tell you that after that, the population is going to begin to fall. It's going to fall and fall dramatically. The white population of Europe is being destroyed. And 2 generations from now, it will not exist. The white population of the United States is not reproducing itself. Here in Sydney, it takes 2.1 children per family to reproduce itself. The white population is reproducing itself about 1.68, 1.67 children per family. Certainly overall, when we take all of the people in the United States, we're told that the population is increasing just at the level of being replenished. But what they never tell you is that Europe and Japan and Russia are dying off. In fact, in many of those countries, they're actually paying people to have children, but you will never hear that in the controlled media in the United States. Well, my telephone number, if you'd like to call in, is 1-877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Robert, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your book?
Yeah. The book, you could buy the book at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, or in a number of stores have it. There's a website, which is merchantsofdespair.com, where there's a number of posts to my shorter articles and to reviews of the book and to podcasts, video interviews of me talking about this, so you could find out a lot more there as well, merchantsofdespair.com.
And it's an excellent book. I think it's well worthwhile. Now, basically, Robert has a great deal of expertise in nuclear power. And there is an organized effort today to program the American people to be willing to give up nuclear power here. They've already decreed that nuclear power will be phased out in Germany, and a number of other countries are considering this. Is what happened in Japan, and what happened in Japan certainly is tragic. But why would they be storing spent nuclear fuel, on the fourth story of a building, in large pools, when the logical way to handle this would be to simply reprocess it? Oh, we couldn't reprocess the nuclear fuel. Why couldn't we do that? Because then you wouldn't be able to have accidents close to cities, so we could force people and fright them into being willing to give up nuclear power. There's an organized effort today, and my goodness, they found evidence of levels of radiation from Japan in the tuna off the shores of the west shores of California. My goodness, the whole world is threatened by the danger from the spread of nuclear power, nuclear waste, and nuclear isotopes from Japan. How would you answer that, Robert?
Well, a couple things. Number one, Fukushima was not a nuclear accident. It was an earthquake and a tidal wave. And the earthquake and the tidal wave killed 28,000 people, totally destroying the city of Fukushima. People were killed by falling buildings, by drowning, by exposure, by fires, by disease. Not one person was killed by radiological release from the nuclear power plants. So here you have an absolute worst-case disaster. You've got 5 nuclear plants. They're completely wrecked. And yes, as you said, they have been forced by the anti-nukes to keep the nuclear waste right in the city. And yet, there was no radiological release that actually harmed anyone. No one outside the plant gate ever received any doses of any significance in the course of this accident. And you can just imagine this. And by the way, this screaming about the radiation from Fukushima probably killed hundreds of people. Not the radiation, the screaming, because of the spreading of panic. And, Greg Jasko, who was the head of the American Nuclear Regulatory Commission, put out a warning that all Americans should stay at least 50 miles away from Fukushima. Now, U.S. Navy task forces were steaming to the rescue of Japanese who were shipwrecked at sea by the tidal wave and dying, and they were warned away, and they stayed away, despite the fact there was no radiation danger to them at all. So hundreds of people were killed by the anti-nukes. No one was killed by the Fukushima power plant. And then this tuna thing, I mean, this is, you can measure a little bit of cesium in these tuna, a few percent of what is naturally in them all the time. That is, all living creatures, including you, all people, contain a certain amount of radioactive material in them. That's correct. Everything on Earth is radioactive to some extent, including people and tunas and trees and grass and you name it, your furniture. And so these were 3% elevated above what they normally would. It's just totally ridiculous. If you ate 3% less tuna, you would get less tuna radiation into you. So this is nonsense. Now, the other thing, though, the point you brought up that was very interesting was this business about storing the waste in the city instead of reprocessing it or at least relocating it to some place that's safe, far away from the city. And, you know, we've had this program here in the U.S. for years on which over $10 billion has been spent to build a nuclear waste repository under a mountain in the middle of the Nevada desert. And is all set to go, but Greg Jasko, who Obama appointed as head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, he lied. He was known to be an anti-nuke, and so during his confirmation hearings in the Senate, the senators asked him, "Well, look, you know, we know you're anti-nuke. We know you used to work for Harry Reid. Are you going to use your bias to stop the opening of this nuclear?" Spent fuel repository, and he said, no, I'll recuse myself from any decisions. Instead, he jumped right into it, and he blocked it. So, clearly trying to make nuclear power as unsafe as possible by keeping the waste stored near the cities instead of moving it to the desert. You know, and this is exactly the opposite of the charter of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Now, he was just forced to resign, oddly enough, not because of his horrible policies and the fact that he lied to Congress, but because he engaged in sexual harassment of some female NRC staff. So Obama has appointed to replace him Allison McFarland, who is a professor of environmental sciences at George Mason University in Virginia. And she is a fanatical opponent of relocating the nuclear waste to a desert repository. She says that there's a danger that 10,000 years from now there could be geologic changes and the waste which is securely stored now could then become exposed. So rather than move the waste to a place where it's far away from the cities and where it would require geological changes to expose it, she wants to keep it stored, you know, just outside of Chicago and, you know, New York and, you know, places like this. This is just totally crazy.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Institute.
Taste the difference at Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods, providing natural meats and wild game like elk, buffalo, venison, veal, quail, and duck. Get your delicious homemade soups, stews, sauces, and tamales, pot pies, and desserts to go at Herb's Meats in Broomfield. Call 303-499-8166 or stop by 1000 Depot Hill Road. That's 1000 Depot Hill Road at the intersection of Highway 287 and 10th Avenue in Broomfield. 303-499-8166 or herbsmeats.com. Open 7 days a week.
The United States Constitution is a joke to politicians in Washington, D.C. Visit America527.org to help defend America from her enemies, foreign and domestic. We believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. We believe in liberty. We believe that only patriots can keep liberty alive. Work with America527.org to save liberty in America. Visit America527.org today.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time,
the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, you have to ask yourself why they won't allow the nuclear fuel to be put in the desert. We spent billions of dollars of building this underground facility, and they say, but we don't know what's going to happen 10,000 years from now. Do you really believe that's why they're not storing it there? In my estimation, that's absolutely not true. They want incidents so they can justify doing away with nuclear power. Why don't we simply reprocess the fuel like they do in France? Oh, we couldn't reprocess the fuel. Why couldn't we process it? Well, we just couldn't do that. Congress has passed a law, and it's the law. We're not going to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all designed so we can actually have these incidents. They want the incidents so we can do away with nuclear power. When you understand that, it makes sense. If you look at it logically, of course it doesn't make sense, but they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know that they want to deindustrialize society and do away with electricity. And as incredible as it seems, this is exactly what is planned today, and that's part of what I'm going to be talking about this weekend at the conference on Agenda 21. Our guest this morning, Robert Zubrin. If you have a question for him, our telephone number is 877-254-7524, and you are witnessing today the coordinated effort of those people who control the media to frighten us to death about the danger, the horrible danger of nuclear power. Go right ahead, Robert, because you're the expert on nuclear power.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, what they're trying to do is create scarcity. They were actually for nuclear power before it was practical in the 60s, and they would use it as a reason why we shouldn't build, you know, coal-fired or oil-fired or gas-fired power plants. So why are you doing that? There's all this smoke. Why don't we just wait and then there'll be nuclear power? But as soon as nuclear power became practical, they turned against it and made an all-out effort to stop it. Because there's another thing about nuclear power, aside from the fact that it doesn't cause any pollution. It's a virtually unlimited resource. And their entire argument ultimately rests on the conceit that there's only so much to go around, and therefore human aspirations must be constrained. And, you know, if you look at, if you were to take all the fossil fuels in the world and turn them into electricity at a rate of 6 cents a kilowatt hour, and I talk about this in my book, Merchants of Despair, and then you divide that total value by the world's population of 7 billion, the total value of that electricity, if you view this as the socialists put it, the common heritage of mankind, is $100,000. Okay, that's your share of the world's common heritage of fossil fuels. If you took all the nuclear resources that are available, I'm talking about nuclear fission resources here, it's $20 million per person. $20 million worth of fuel per person is available in the world if nuclear power becomes possible. Not 100,000, 20 million. And then if we make fusion power possible, which can use deuterium, which is a form of hydrogen found in water naturally, then it's over $1 trillion per person. There needs to be no limits to growth. The entire argument that these people have, that there's only so much to go around, and therefore they need to be put into control to ration everything, it all goes out the window. And that's why they have to destroy nuclear power. That's why they hate it more than any other power source.
And you're never going to hear these things discussed in the controlled media, because they don't want you to understand that they really are people out there who want to destroy a certain industrialized society. But you can see its influence today as we transfer our wealth to China, as we lower living standards in America, as we raise them in China. Today, you enter a job in many manufacturing plants. You're going to be making $10 an hour. The people who are already working in the plant are getting $18 to $20 an hour. But if you want a job, you work for $10 an hour. They're going to push our wage level down in America as they raise it throughout the world. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the innocent, stupid people in America to find out there is a ruling elite whose loyalty is not to the United States, but to this globalist dream. Well, Robert, certainly, what sort of response are you getting to your book?
Pretty good, actually. I mean, certainly people like you who are aware of this threat, but perhaps they haven't seen it in all its different dimensions yet because they were aware of it in one context and not been following letters. They see this and they have rallied to it and are helping get the word out, for instance, as you are doing right now on this show. I've had some attacks, of course, from the other side, but that shows that I'm hitting home.
Well, that goes with the territory, basically. Of course, there are people who hate the truth and are doing everything they can to conceal it. And
yeah.
So if you're on...
You know, it was interesting. I had a radio show with a liberal host a number of weeks ago, and he just started poo-pooing all this stuff about, oh, well, you know, you deny DDT to Africa. Oh, it's not going to hurt anyone. Oh, population control is not as bad as you say. Oh, it doesn't matter if you know, we don't let people use the latest kind of crops. You know, they got by before. And then I realized, you know, I said to him, you know, I just blurted it out, look, this is a Holocaust, and you shouldn't be denying it. And then I realized I was dealing with a Holocaust denier, that you've got this massive crimes on a world scale, whether it's denial of pesticides, denial of improved crops, rigging up with energy prices, which is a crushing blow to the world's poor. They are in denial of the consequences, the horrific consequences of their actions. And so it is ironic to me that these people choose to use the epithet of deniers, as in Holocaust deniers, to accuse those who don't want to go along with their policies of rigging up energy prices, when it's the rigging up of energy prices that is the Holocaust, that is the crime against humanity, which these people are intimately involved with, and which they just shrug off, along with the crimes of the population control movement, the anti-technology movement, and all the rest of it.
I agree with you, and yet it's so difficult for people to understand what is really going on today. Well, I guess then Robert Zubrin, his book, Merchant of Despair. Robert, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure. Bye-bye.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Regardless of one's age, there is a living heritage, adventures, experience, and memories to share. So be sure to show how much you care by remembering an elderly family member, friend, or neighbor, by a ride to church, a trip shopping, or better yet, take the time to visit. Learn about life from the most experienced people in the world and make a difference. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority on the air, because they care.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is the time when I do remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you are in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or would like to advertise with us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Now, on the subject we're talking about this morning, population control is simply part of Agenda 21. We have an excellent talk on Agenda 21 by Michael Shaw, talk he gave at the last conference. And then, of course, you have my talks on planned population reduction. That's planned population reduction and Nundare College Genocide. They're both DVDs. We recommend both of them. You go up on the Internet and look at the population control agenda. I'll just type in population control agenda or Stan Montes or Radio Liberty or go to my website and you pull it down there. It's certainly one of the best short treatises on this whole incredible program to kill off most of the people in the world. By my calculation, they've already killed 46 billion, and they're killing millions every day. They plan to kill billions more. They know what they're doing, and you and your family are probably on the list. I'm not exaggerating this. At least you need to look into it to find out if it could really be true. Why would anybody in their right mind want to kill off most of the people in the world? Why would anybody in their right mind have backed Adolf Hitler during the Second World War? Which American corporations built the weapons for Adolf Hitler during the Second World War? Well, they were General Motors, General Electric, Ford, and the IBM, AT&T. You've never heard that. You didn't know all during the Second World War, American corporations were building the weapons for Hitler over in Germany. And, of course, the dark banks like Brown Brothers Harriman were actually financing Adolf Hitler during the war. And one of the leaders, of course, of the Brown Brothers Harriman was a fellow named Prescott Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush, the father of George Herbert Walker Bush. So much of this is covered in the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, the book for Sydney, the best enemies money could buy. After all, we didn't finance and create the Nazis. How could we have had a wonderful, wonderful war as a prelude to the world government? And when that didn't work, that's why we're going to have another war. And if you don't see the war coming in the Middle East, why, you're incredibly naive. We're certainly toppling all the governments over there and turning them over to the Muslim Brotherhood, which we created back in 1928. You read the book, The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game. And we carry that going into the background, how we created the Muslim Brotherhood. Now we're turning all of those countries over there over to the Muslim Brotherhood in preparation for the coming great war in the Middle East. All of the things, oh, another excellent book on how we financed the Nazis all during the war by John Loftus, the book entitled America's Nazi secret. We've got to keep it a secret. We can't let the American people know. If they knew, they wouldn't believe all the programs on the History Channel and the Discovery Channel. But we carry John Loftus's book, America's Nazi Secret, and my interview with him on the, it's called The War Against the Jews. My telephone number, 1-800-544-8900.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare,